From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Recently, Dr. Cairns began a series of messages focusing upon the various occasions in which the Lord Jesus Christ referred to himself by that ineffable name, I Am. This is the name by which God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. During his earthly ministry, Christ applied this matchless name to himself, clearly demonstrating his deity, that he was and is God manifest in the flesh. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. Our text for this morning is found in the Epistle to Philemon and verse 2. The church in thy house. Is there a church in this house? Are parents, children, friends, servants, all members of it? Or are some still unconverted? Let us pause here and let the question go round. Am I a member of the church in this house? How would father's heart leap for joy, and mother's eyes fill with holy tears, if from the eldest to the youngest all were saved? Let us pray for this great mercy until the Lord shall grant it to us. Probably it had been the dearest object of Philemon's desires to have all his household saved, but it was not at first granted to him in its fullness. He had a wicked servant, Onesimus, who, having wronged him, ran away from his service. His master's prayers followed him, and at last, as God would have it, Onesimus was led to hear Paul preach. His heart was touched, and he returned to Philemon not only to be a faithful servant, but a brother beloved, adding another member to the church in Philemon's house. Is there an unconverted servant or child absent this morning? Make special supplication that such may, on their return to home, gladden all hearts with good news of what grace has done. Is there one present? Let him partake in the same earnest entreaty. If there be such a church in our house, let us order it well, and let all act as in the sight of God. Let us move in the common affairs of life with studied holiness, diligence, kindness, and integrity. More is expected of a church than of an ordinary household. Family worship must, in such a case, be more devout and hearty. Internal love must be more warm and unbroken, and external conduct must be more sanctified and Christ-like. We need not fear that the smallness of our number will put us out of the list of churches, for the Holy Spirit has here enrolled a family church in the inspired book of remembrance. As a church, let us now draw nigh to the great head of the one church universal, and let us beseech him to give us grace to shine before men to the glory of his name.
I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me.
Teach me some melodious sonnets, sung by fairy tones of
Are you looking for guidance and help in your study of the Bible? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes the third in a series of studies dealing with the occurrences in the New Testament where the Lord Jesus Christ asserted his deity by using that name which belongs to God alone, I Am. In the Gospel of John, Christ used this name of himself seven times. The text for this message is chapter 8, verse 12. The context is the occasion of the woman taken in adultery, whom the Pharisees said should be stoned. In the ensuing confrontation with those hypocritical religious leaders, Christ put them to silence. Then he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. By this statement, the Lord Jesus emphasized that he alone is that light. In expounding this text, Dr. Cairns spoke of the person of Christ as the light of the world. The embodiment of Christ as the true light is eminently suitable to all that the Lord Jesus is in himself. In considering the power of Christ as the light of the world, Dr. Cairns has been drawing a number of comparisons between what light does and what Christ does in the lives of those whom he saves. And now to bring God's word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
A believer in Jesus Christ cannot be without hope. Now, the devil may tell you you're without hope. The flesh may go into cahoots with him to agree you're without hope. But the reality is, unless Christ, who is the great I Am, were to die and go out of existence, you cannot be without hope, because he is our hope. He is our hope. Everything we hope for is bound up in him. That brings me very briefly to Christ's promise. He imparts life because he says, he who follows me Whosoever will follow me, he says, shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The very striking thing here is this. The Lord Jesus has been speaking of the light of the world. The idea is they're both Jews and Gentiles. He's looking at the vast reach of the world and said, I'm the light of the whole world. And yet when he comes to the promise of verse 12, the Lord Jesus speaks in individual terms. Notice very carefully, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me. Christ is a light sufficient for every man who ever lived. Christ is a light sufficient for sinners by the million and by the billion. But he must be received personally. Following Christ is not a group occupation. Don't misunderstand me. There is a group discipleship in the church, but that is a group made up of individuals who are following personally after Christ. It's a conditional promise. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This following Christ is another description of faith. It's the same as in John 6, when he was speaking of himself as bread, he said, you eat this bread. That's faith. It's that which is able to lay hold of the blessing. The idea here is, if you go back to the figure of the pillar of fire in the wilderness, that glorious manifestation of the light of God among his people, when the pillar moved, they had to move. If they didn't move with it, they didn't walk in its light. In other words, this is faith. This is the faith that follows the light. And that's the condition. That's the condition of the promise. Now notice how comprehensive the promise is. You'll not walk in darkness. Don't misunderstand that for a moment. It does not mean that Christians will never be afflicted by dark circumstances. It does not mean that Christians will never face oppression. It does not mean that they'll never face temptation. It does not mean that they'll never feel alone. Isaiah 50, verse 10 is enough to scotch that notion. Who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant and walketh in darkness? The idea there is who's being oppressed by powers of darkness. You look at Job. He was a man who walked with God, and he certainly was in the light of God's presence, yet he was attacked by the powers of darkness. So it doesn't mean that you'll never face affliction. What it means is this, that in saving us, the Lord Jesus Christ brings a new governing principle of light into our souls, so that we will never return to live habitually in the old fashioned of our unregenerate days. We rather enjoy the light of life. Notice the negative. You'll not walk in darkness. I'll only give you a sketch of what that means. You once walked in the darkness of ignorance and falsehood. You did not know God. The understanding was darkened, according to Ephesians 4:18. But now you will walk in the light of the knowledge of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Wherever you walk in this light. I know God. I am known by God. I know him. No longer abandoned to the falsehood and the darkness of human ignorance. Once you walked in the darkness of impurity, governed by the corrupt habits and lusts of the flesh, but now you walk in Christian victory. Notice very carefully, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Does this in any way connect with what went before? I think that you'd be very blind not to see it. There stood a woman who had lived in sin. She had been taken in the very act of gross immorality. She had come into the presence of him who is the light of the world. And how did he send her forth? Go and sin no more. Not that she was going to be impeccably sinless. No. But she was not going to return to the old fashion of living. The old wickedness, impurity, ungodliness. It's what I was saying earlier. There is an evidence of grace. There's a change of life. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. If you have faith in me, you will not walk in darkness. What is the key to holy living? It is faith in Christ. That's the key. It's not strength of will. That is derived from faith in Christ. It is not strength of character. That comes as a result of faith in Christ. It is faith in Christ, as the old hymn says, holiness by faith in Jesus. Not by, and I think the idea is not by mere effort of my own. Sin's dominion crushed and broken by the power of grace alone. And how do you lay hold of grace? By faith. Following hard after Christ. That's the key to victory. And when we're not following, when we're not walking in the light, when we're not living by faith, then we will not be delivered from darkness. The believer, negatively, shall not walk in the darkness of the impurity that once governed his soul. Once he walked in the darkness of dread and fear. But now he walks in the light of God's peace and the assurance of God's love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember how John put this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. To the extent we love, we're delivered from dread. That's true. But let me tell you something that's vastly more important. To the extent we know he loves us, to that extent we are delivered from dread, because perfect love casteth out fear. Fear hath torment. I think we all know something about that. Dread introduces into the heart and the mind a turmoil, a torment. You've been there. How do you get rid of it? Screw up your courage. Well, try it. It won't work. Somebody pat you in the back and tell you just to get over it. That won't work either. All the little psychological gimmicks of all the psychological books ever published, they won't work either. Ultimately, how do you get over that inner turmoil? Perfect love casts out fear. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. You follow me, and you will not walk in this darkness. Peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's the negative. You'll not walk in darkness. The positive is you'll have the light of life. Now, what on earth does that mean? I'm amazed that almost every scholar who comments on this passage says the light of life is not equivalent to the light of the world. I am the light of the world. It's not a title of Christ. I don't know how these fellows can come to be so certain about things that the Bible doesn't say. It seems to me that when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and he says, you follow me, you'll have the light of life, I think that he is saying, you follow me, you walk in my light, I am the light, you'll have me with you. Now, there's a very simple thing there. In fact, that I'm not going to give you the grammatical term for it in case you think I'm suddenly becoming very learned, and you might ask me to spell the word. But this is one of those things that it seems so simple it's not worth saying. You follow me and you'll be with me and I'll be with you. But that's exactly what he's saying. If you follow me, you'll be with me where I am. If you follow me, I am going to be with you wherever you are. If you're walking in light, you're not in darkness, you will have the light of life. You'll have me with you. The key to having Christ vitally real in your life is continued faith in Christ, continued fellowship with Christ. That's the key. It's the all-important key. Of course, it means that you'll have all the benefits of Christ, all the benefits of salvation. You'll have them from me. Walking in light, you'll have the true knowledge of God. You will have true holiness. You'll have true happiness. You'll have heaven begun. What is heaven? Heaven is the very light of God in all its glory, in all its resplendent beauty. That's the very essence of heaven, the glory of God. Jesus said, you follow me, you'll have the light of life. You'll have heaven begun, the present enjoyment of eternal life. Now, this is Christ's claim, but unlike every other claimant, Jesus Christ has the power to do what he says. This promise, therefore, really takes on the character of an invitation. He says, I'm the light. What do you do then? Come to the light. Now, it could be this morning, as we meet in God's house, could be that you are in the darkness of ignorance, that you don't know God. What do? You'll not get to know God by studying comparative religion. You'll not get to know God by getting into Eastern mysticism. You'll not get to know God by getting into all the schools and philosophies and systems of man. You will get to know God one way and one way only. Come to the light. Jesus said, I am the light. You come to me. If you're living in the darkness of falsehood, deception, hypocrisy, what do? Come to the light. If you're living in the darkness of despair and hopelessness has gripped your heart, you look all around you and you feel like all I can do is give up, what do? Come to the light. And what will the light do? He'll dispel your darkness, as the psalmist rejoiced in Psalm 18, verse 19. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I trust today that you've caught something of a glimpse of the glory and the beauty, the majesty, the person, the power, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And make sure today that, having heard of light, you do not walk in darkness. May it not be true of any man or woman, boy or girl here, that the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not want to know it. May it not be true of any one of you that this condemnation comes upon you, that Christ, the light, has come, but you prefer darkness to the light because your deeds are evil. Jesus says, I am the light. Make sure you come to that light. Walk in that light. And then you can go through this world with that glorious testimony of the Ephesians. You were sometime darkness, but now are you light in the Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.